Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, rule changes, runners, the Eagles without Nick Nat, and Freo takes on the fleet-footed Bombers.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh! The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Have with me Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times, and I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian. Quarters.
Duff, how are you?
So another, we've got another version of Snakes and Ladders this weekend, mate.
Oh, we have, yeah. It was a crazy four or five, six teams changing ladder positions last week. I think the Hawks went from 8th down to 10th and GWS climbed in. It's really good finish to the year shaping up, this one. I'm excited about it because there's so many possibilities.
Okay, and how are you viewing your team's possibilities?
Look, they can still, the draw dictates that the Hawks could still make the eight and probably will. But, the James Sicily's exit from the home and away season leaves a massive hole in that Hawthorn lineup, and they're more vulnerable. They're already vulnerable, but they, Duff, to use a Quatermain original, as vulnerable as a luminous duck with wind cramp on the opening day of shooting season. That's the Hawks at the moment.
Thank you, Glenn, for making that clear.
That's pretty vulnerable, is what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make.
Got a question for you at the start of today's show, Quarters. There's one from keen West Coast supporter Alex Paul, who asks, is West Coast's record in Melbourne this year a reflection on their mastery of the Victorian conditions, or is it just a reflection on the fact that they've played the fewest times in Melbourne, which is only four, obviously, and they've had wins over Hawthorn, Carlton, Collingwood, and the Dogs, so they are unbeaten
so
in Melbourne.
So two wins at the G?
Two wins at the G.
I reckon their form at the G is more relative to the new home ground, the shape of the new home ground up to Stadium, which is more like the MCG, not the identical shape, but, and I think there's a bit of confidence about the side too. And the perhaps, you know, Hawthorn's not the great conquest that it used to be in Melbourne, while still difficult. I think there's been a real, if you look at the Eagles, bar, say, the forwards, there has been, they've had their injuries, but there's been a sameness about the Eagles side too, and I think that helps. And they're second on the ladder. So clearly they're
going all right.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've gained confidence on this new home ground for sure. They certainly played last week. They looked comfortable on the MCG, where you wouldn't say that in the past.
No, I agree. Obviously, the other big talking point this week has been rules.
Yep, good.
And whether we should have changes or not. And if we do have changes, whether starting positions and regulating starting positions at stoppages in particular should be among those rules.
No, not at stoppages, but after reset, so after goals.
Yeah.
You can't have them after stoppages. It would just take too long. It sort of seems like that's getting a bit nasty, that conversation this week, and it shouldn't be. I reckon good, robust debate's really healthy, and we need to have it on these subjects. This is a really important, pivotal time for footy, and we've got to get it right. So I don't mind if it takes a little longer and we have these conversations. I'm in Malcolm Blight's corner too. I think we stoppages after goals, and I think a massive reduction in rotations. That's what I'd like. And for people out there who say you're just messing with the rules again, well, you're not. You're reverting to how footy was meant to be. Because if you go back to starting positions after goals, that's how you played as a kid, Duff. You remember you went out there in a half forward flank, that's where you lined up.
We didn't. We were all on the ball.
Okay. Well, I played in the mud heaps of the Melbourne's eastern suburbs, so I can tell you it took a lot out of you to run from half back to the midfield because it was just, there was not a blade of grass on it. So we tended to stick to our positions.
Yes. Well, I think we're going to get rule changes. I worry about them, and I worry about the flow-on effects of
them. Why do you worry about them?
I just don't think the rule changes ever factor in how coaches will react?
I reckon there's not much you can do about a massive reduction in rotations.
I reckon there is. You just send players to a defensive position straight away. I mean, at the moment, what we see is the clubs that profit most are the ones that have the best balance between attack and defence. I don't think we want to get to a return to those days where pure defence won premierships.
Yeah, if you have a combination of a massive reduction in stoppages and in rotations and set positions after goals, I reckon fatigue comes into it later, and you'll find it hard to get that running into defence. You'll still get your seven behind the ball and what have you, but I just think it'll be harder. Mm-hmm. And as particularly as the game wears on, I reckon it's a real plus, and I hope it comes off.
Yeah, well, certainly what will come off is there will be an almighty debate, I think, between now
good.
And whatever.
Well, there should
decide.
Be, and it should be healthy and it should be encouraged. And you know what? Nathan Buckley's allowed to have his say, and so is Malcolm Blight. And we should all have our say and allow the other person to have their say and not jump down their throat every time they have a different opinion.
And Luke Beveridge and Chris Scott.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, and I love the idea. I like the argument this week about runners, for example, because as you know, I mean, it's my real bugbear. There's too many non-footballers out on the footy field at the moment, too many drink water carriers, too many runners. I want to see footballers out in the ground. That's what we pay to go and see. I'm not saying don't have water carriers. You probably need them at times, but just the reduction in them. And Laidler's situation last week was...
In Laidler's situation, why don't the umpires just have the power to say, get off now, or it's a free kick in 50
metres? Yep, they should. I agree. They should do that. It's a blight on the game. I've never liked it. I've never liked them out there. Yeah. It's just always been something I haven't agreed with, and I just think it's time. You could probably make an argument more. At the moment, with so many rotations, why do you need runners anyway? I mean, surely you can get the message to players. If you're rotating every 30 seconds, you can get the message to a player out to his teammate.
Jeez, mate, that'd be a game of Chinese whispers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there've been some pretty funny comments going out from runners to players that I don't reckon their coach gave to them, if you know what I mean. I think there's been some diluted messages over the years.
Move Plugger to full forward by the time it gets out there via three players. Are you drunk, Plugger? Why? Well, they just told me the full forward was full.
Oh, yeah. No, I reckon there might have been a few sprays that have been diluted too over the years.
Absolutely. My brother was a runner at South Fremantle. So he came up to Perth to play for South Fremantle in 1984. Mark Jackson was running around.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, that would have been interesting.
And my brother got injured. And so in a pre-season game, he had to be the runner. And Malcolm Brown asked him to deliver a message to Mark Jacko Jackson. He told him that it was to be delivered verbatim and in the manner that it was delivered to him. And the general thrust of the message was that Jacko had not gone nearly hard enough at a contest.
Mm-hmm.
It gave several colourful and descriptive terms to describe Jacko. And those were the words my brother was supposed to use.
To
Jacko. My brother ran out and he said to Jacko, Brownie says you need to go a bit harder.
Very wise man, your brother.
He is. He's still around today.
Just ask Michael Sheehan what he thinks about Jacko. So,
yes, that was a good interview. Wasn't
it? I wouldn't have run it actually. But anyway, that's Mike Sheehan's professionalism for you.
Let's get on to some tips.
Yes, it's a tough round too, this one. Friday night, St Kilda v Richmond at Etihad Stadium. This was the game last year that set Richmond rolling. It was actually round 16 last year, but yeah. Against the odds, St Kilda absolutely pantsed the Tigers at this venue. And St Kilda going a lot better at the moment, but it's not going to be happening, sorry Saints fans. A bit of bad news too, St Kilda. McCartan's done the Lisfranc. He's out for the year now, so Paddy McCartan has had no luck at all. That Lisfranc injury, really interesting. I heard Chris Scott during the week saying he felt that it was now the new, almost as bad as an ACL because it's such a recurring problem.
Yeah, and another blow for Paddy McCartan, which is just, he's been absolutely blighted by injuries and concussions since being the number one draft pick a few years back. Now, is the Lisfranc the new term for what they used to call the syndesmosis of the ankle?
I'm not sure if it is.
It's a different injury.
Yeah,
isn't
it? I think it is. Yeah, the Lisfranc's the bones up the top of your foot.
Yep.
I thought, where's the syndesmosis? I'm not a doctor.
Well, syndesmosis is the one they refer to as it's a high ankle injury.
No,
so
this
you're
is
saying,
more
you're
foot,
saying this is a foot
top
injury.
Top of the foot, yeah. So it's the Dane Swan injury.
Yeah, okay.
So that puts it into perspective. So it's just something that recurs, and you can get back there and play footy, but you're only ever one game away from it recurring. So that's the problem with it, I think. And I think coaches are really frustrated with it at the moment. I'm not sure why they are at the moment. It's always existed, but I don't know. Anyway, I think last time Gresham kicked 6 goals in this game, he won't be kicking 6 this week. I think Richmond will win this game. They're back at home. Well, back in Victoria at least.
Yeah, I think Richmond will win. I think this is a bit of a danger game for them, though. All you need going into a game like this, if you're St Kilda, is belief. And they will take a lot out of that game last year, I reckon. Mm. And plus, they will take a lot out of their recent form. I think they've been better recently. And I think they'll think they can compete quite strongly in this one. I don't think they can beat Richmond, but I think they can get a little bit closer than a lot of us think they can get.
I reckon the belief's a really important term. I reckon Richmond's got lots of it.
They have.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Particularly
as long as they're in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. Fair call. Saturday, Collingwood v North Melbourne. That's a really tough, another tough game. Both losses in round 17 at the G. Collingwood first loss in 2 months last week. I am going to pick Collingwood to bounce back here. Not with any great confidence. I think it'll be a really close game. But I'm just leaning towards Collingwood. I've liked what I've seen the last couple of months. I'm prepared to say last week was a combination of Eagles. The Eagles really, really playing good footy after the first, say, 20 minutes. And Collingwood, just that loss that's there. It has to happen at some stage. So Darcy Moore, I liked his return last week. First game back. I think that's where he plays now in defence, and particularly with Dunn out. I liked him slotting into that back line. And the noise coming out of Collingwood is that he's more likely to re-sign with the Pies than go elsewhere, which was really interesting to me this week.
Well, they need him now, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, with Lyndon Dunn will not play for at least half of next season. So that puts the Darcy Moore situation into context. They need the tall defender. My problem with the Pies at the moment is that I think, and this is the thing I didn't recognise about them before the Eagles game last week when I tipped West Coast, they're nearly at tipping point now with their injuries, and losing Mason Cox before that game, I think, tipped them over and just left them too short at either end. I'm like you, I'm going to tip them. I'm mainly tipping them because this is an MCG game.
Yep.
If this was an Etihad Stadium game,
yeah, you'd be.
I think I'd be going the other way.
And North was unlucky last week. You know, interesting comments from Adam Treloar during the week on the Pies and their forward line. Of course, it's just multi-talented. There's so many focal points there. But when you're a midfielder and you're streaming forward for Collingwood, you look up and there's if you can't find your DeGoeys or your Hoskin Elliotts or your Stevensons, there's always Mason Cox. He's the get out. You just lob it to him and he'll bring it to ground and then the rest can do their work. He's not there. And they found that there was a bit of panic about last week. So they need to redress that. I'm not sure how long he's there. He'll be back this week?
Cox?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's expected.
So he's going to straighten them up a little bit. So I'm more confident with him playing now. It's just an amazing story. So Collingwood for me, Collingwood for you?
Yes.
Sydney v Gold Coast at the SCG. 8-0 against the Gold Coast, so they've never lost to the Suns. That'd be just about the last team to do so, I think. That's Sydney going along okay. Sort of got over the line against North. 1,000 games of experience was missing from that side. And they, talking about tipping points, they've been on one for 5-6 weeks now, I reckon. We should acknowledge Buddy Franklin's 900th goal last week too. Magnificent effort. Ronke chipped in with 5. Gold Coast for me, I don't see much. I really feel for Stewie Jew this year. It's a difficult position first year as a coach, and also you've got Tom Lynch, who he's leaving. Let's just concede that now. And probably Stephen May is not looking good long-term either now, and that's got to create some instability in that team. So it's just been a long year for them, and I don't think it ends soon enough, and they won't be winning at the SCG this week.
So there's been talk about the possibility of priority draft picks for Carlton. I would have thought that in terms of the future of a club, I'm all for Carlton getting some help at the end of this year.
Yeah, they both need them.
But Gold Coast, to me, it's urgent.
Yes.
Because if Stephen May is contracted next year, the words that Stuart Dew said about Tom Lynch this week basically indicate they're resigned to him going.
Yep.
If Stephen May were to follow him out the door at the end of next year, I shudder to think what happens to that football club. And in fact, I shudder to think what the view of the rest of the competition and the AFL might be. They may put them in the too hard basket.
Well, we were having this conversation at the start of the year about Lynch, saying they can't afford to lose him. Now we're conceding he's gone and we're suggesting May as well.
Yeah.
So that's just catastrophic. If it's not already catastrophic, they've already had their catastrophe with the number of players who've left that club.
That's
but
right.
But now it's just gone beyond that. It's just...
It's the catastrophe has already happened yep. at Gold Coast. And that's, you know, no Ablett, no Bennell, no Prestia, et cetera, no Josh Caddy. You know, basically an all-Australian midfield has walked out of the door at the Gold Coast Suns. And they have to be able to stop the bleeding before they can start the building. And unfortunately, at this moment, they haven't been able to stop the bleeding. Sydney wins this comfortably.
So let's get some quality players in, big contracts, and free passes to all the theme parks. And surely that'll attract some young people up there.
And not everyone's like you, Quartus.
Oh, okay.
Theme parks aren't that appealing to the rest of us.
Okay. It's a fun day out, though. Essendon v Frio at Etihad Stadium. Frio won that Let's Get Ready to Fumble game last week. The game that got beaten by the ugly stick, as we were talking about. But having said that, you walk away as a fan and you're happy with a win. I would suggest enjoy the win, Frio, because I think Essendon win this at Etihad Stadium. They play well there. Very quick side, Essendon. And I was thinking about it earlier, actually. Should we get less stoppages and more fatigue next year? I think Essendon's one of those teams with their speed that's really going to benefit.
Yeah, of course, every team adjusts, though, don't they? Yeah. There'll be teams that will be leaving quick players out at the moment because they want the bigger-bodied stoppage player in, and that quick player will be coming into their team next week. An interesting rhetoric from Ross Lyon during the week, talking about the possibility of playing
three bigs:
Scott Jones, Sean Darcy, and Aaron Sandilands. Now, I saw Sean Darcy doing a fitness test at training yesterday, so we'll be interested to see.
So that's a groin.
How that pans out. Well, they thought he might have strained a groin, but they also thought it might have been cramp.
Yep.
The way he was running around yesterday suggests it probably was cramp. Aaron Sandilands obviously hasn't played for a couple of weeks with that calf muscle injury that took him out before the
older player calf. I'm not sure what they're doing, but I'd load him back in next week at Optus against the Hawks.
Yeah, I would do that too. I would leave him the extra week. And I'm not sure why they want to play three talls. So that would be interesting, particularly against a team that's quick off the back end like Essendon is. So interesting ladder positions on this one too.
Well, Essendon can't. Yeah, look, they're both mathematically Frio's a chance. I can't see it happening.
No, I'm talking more about their position relative to each other.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough for any of the teams below Fremantle to catch them. If Essendon beats them, it's going to be tough for Fremantle to catch Essendon.
Yeah, and Essendon's still within, the top eight is a possibility.
Just within striking distance.
And so they can't afford to lose this game.
Yeah, Essendon comfortably for me.
Yep. Now, this is one I've struggled with, Brisbane v Adelaide. I really struggled with this one. Three wins in a row, the Lions, knocking off my boys last week very impressively. But what's more impressive about them at the moment, it's not so much the regular go-tos we've seen over the years. It's your Berries, your Rainers, younger players here. Yes, Dane Booms has had a terrific year, but you know, Hipwood's starting to... In the past, he would produce that 4 or 5-goal game and then he would be... There'd be a bit of inconsistency about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's really found some consistency.
Yeah.
They're a really settled side, albeit without their best defender still out of the side. But they're a really there's a lot to like about how settled they are against an Adelaide side that similarly can't afford to lose this game. But I'm just not sure that it's one of those. I think playing Brisbane now, it's a real test, and I'm going to. I say it, I might have deep regret, but I'm going to pick the Lions to win this.
Yeah, I don't think you'll regret it. I'm going to pick the Lions to win this too. I worry about Adelaide. I think there was a bit of bravado about Adelaide last week against Geelong at home.
At home,
this
yep.
is at the Gabba.
You're always going to pick them at home.
Yeah, and I think Adelaide will be hard to beat at home, but I liked what I saw about Brisbane last week. I love their young players. McLuggage shared top billing
yep.
in the votes from the coaches,
yep.
which tells you they like what he's starting to do now. He's just a second-year player. Loved Cam Rayner's poise at the end of the game. You know, a
he's not being carried anymore. Did you get that? McLuggage? Anyway, sorry, go on.
Boom, boom.
Yep.
you've thrown me now. I'll tell you, a bloke we won't talk about much at Brisbane, but I think is a nice little story. Josh Walker went up yeah. there as a depth player and an insurance player, and because of the injury and the concussion suffered by Harris Andrews, he's playing. He played a really, really good game against the Hawks, took a number of telling marks in defence, and he has turned into a really serviceable, handy list member for the Brisbane Lions. And I think, you know, we often talk about the guys that become stars or regular players or play in successful teams or whatever. Josh Walker is going to walk away with a very credible AFL career, just filling in when other players couldn't play. And I'm told he's a great person to have around the club, and he's doing a terrific
job.
Bit
of a destination at the moment, Brisbane. There's a lot of happiness coming from that club. Chris Fagan's obviously doing a great job building camaraderie around that club. You've got Hodge down back to being a teacher, and it seems to be that the, you know what I mean? You can tell when the team that plays with spirit generally is a happy group. And I just think it's a bit of a destination at the moment. If you look at where Brisbane are, even though they've only won four games, they're ahead. If you look at the flagometer, where they are in relation to winning their next flag, if they do, they're ahead of a lot of teams above them, I reckon, Brisbane.
They're ahead of anything in the bottom eight.
Yeah, they're ahead of Hawthorn, I would have thought. Yeah,
anything in the bottom eight they're ahead of in terms of winning a flag.
I would have thought so, yep.
And interestingly, Quarters, their very quirky coach, Chris Fagan.
Yeah, he's great.
Last night on Fox Footy, he was being interviewed via video link up at his home.
Mm-hmm.
And they could see the record collection in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked him to pull the first two out.
Mm-hmm.
What were they?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I missed that last night. What were they?
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yes, really?
And Dire Straits, Love Over Gold. Remember Love Over Gold? Now, that was an album.
Oh, it was a terrific album. I'll pay that. I'm not sure about the Ed Sheeran. Different folks, you know, but...
Well, you can't get in your car for 5 minutes without hearing an Ed Sheeran song.
Without crying. Without
to...
crying. I have to pull over and go and get some happy time outside the car.
So we're both on Brisbane.
Yeah, we are. And also Taylor Walker out, of course, with that suspension for Adelaide, so that'll hurt them. Yeah, we're both on Brisbane. Well, we'll see we'll revisit that next week.
Before we leave Adelaide, Curtly Hampton.
Yep.
Retires.
Yep.
They cite vertigo.
Yep.
There's a lot of talk that...
In brackets, camp.
Camp. So something happened on the camp that has seriously affected...
Well, a few of the Indigenous boys were pretty unhappy with what happened on the camp, and I believe he's one of those, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some connection to what happened there.
So do you expect a lawsuit from Curtly Hampton?
I can't predict what he's going to do, but I wouldn't be surprised, to put it that way. I think down the track, this camp, which they've admitted was a mistake... But again, how big a mistake was it to a group that I don't believe needed a camp? They were the most resilient group in football. Their coach, they lost their coach 2 years previously.
Yes.
They made a grand final. Everything was according to four quarters of footy.
Mm.
Or let's call it three and a half because they were okay for a half. But it was just one grand final. And as history has proven, Richmond are a fair side. So... I just reckon they can.
Richmond's home ground.
They're going to wish this camp away, but it's not going away for a long time. I think the residue effect of it will carry through.
And just for people who probably want some more information on that, we probably don't want to go too deep into it, but we're talking about the botched handling of culturally sensitive material for Indigenous people.
Which is, and you know, you're right, we won't go too deeply into it, but it's an area you just don't go near. Unless you know what you're talking about and if it's beneficial. It's just a no-go zone.
Yeah.
And I can't believe what you hear about that camp, if it's true. Anyway, Curtly Hampton, it's a real loss. He's only 25.
Yeah, and he was a good player. He was one of the priority picks for GWS early. Never quite made it there. Looked like he would find a niche for himself at the Crows, but it hasn't happened. And 25 is genuinely too young to be departing the AFL.
Yep, let's hope it all goes well for Curtly going forward. Geelong v Melbourne at GMHBA. This is a massive game, 8-point game for both teams in terms of where can Geelong make that top four and have a tilt at a flag? Can Melbourne do the same? I still think I'm not picking against Geelong at home. I'm not at that situation yet. But I reckon this is going to be pretty close. This will be a pretty close game.
So and this is one of your venue tips.
It is one of my venue tips. And I hope that Max Gawn, I hope they're 3 points down. Siren goes, Max Gawn takes a mark and kicks it this time. Because we remember what happened in round one, of course, Max Gawn missed that goal, and which they would have won the game. So still the number one contested team, Melbourne. A lot to like about them. Geelong lose and they could be as low as 10th if everything else goes that way during this round. So I think I'm prepared to go with Geelong this game, but I think it's a real danger for them.
I agree. I think this is a genuine 50-50 game. I am going against the venue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tip Melbourne. I just think that this is one of those games where Max Gawn could really get hold of a team with no ruckman, yeah. And he could be very dominant, not just in the middle, but at either end, because he does work the ground very hard and he does take a contested mark. I think he could become the most important player on the ground.
Reece Stanley will have his hands full this weekend.
Absolutely. And I just think the two intriguing teams here, I reckon. I think we expect better from Geelong than we saw in Adelaide last week. And we think Melbourne can get better than what they've been. We think that in Melbourne, we think the genesis of a very good team is there. And they can improve between now and September. And we just expect more from Geelong than they coughed up against Adelaide.
Most inconsistent side for mine in the top eight.
Geelong.
Yeah, they looked great 1 week. And then they weren't that bad against Adelaide, and it was in Adelaide. Mm. And it's still a bit of a fortress. So I'm still prepared to go with them. Sunday, Carlton v Hawthorn. Hawthorn's won 14 of the past 15. Of course, that win was last year by Carlton, ending a long drought against the Hawks. Massive out with Sicily this week. And a big boy McAvoy who really hurt Hawthorn last week too. Having said that, apart from P. Cripps v Mitchell, I think it's going to be a pretty comfortable win to Hawthorn. This one has to be if they want to make the eight.
Absolutely. If they're getting beaten by Carlton this week.
Yeah, you can put the bike in the rack and go and eat your lunch and, yeah, that's it.
They'll be going on holidays.
Yeah, I think so.
At the start of September. Hawthorn for me.
And I like Clarkson's comments after last week's game about the lack of spirit, which he wasn't inaccurate, but I think that the intention of that was to stoke the fire a little bit for this week and get a response.
So. Well, he didn't come down in the last shower.
No, he didn't. Big game, West Coast v Western Bulldogs at Optus on Sunday. Of course, goes without saying, no Nick Nat. But three, they did okay without him. The Eagles travelling along nicely. Western Bulldogs, it's been one of those years. I think we saw McRae shut out of the game last week too. So one of my certainly favourites this year, Mark Hutchings, who did a terrific job on side bottom last week.
He goes to Jack McRae.
I think so. He's had a really good year, Mark Hutchings. I think West Coast wins this game by 5 to 6 goals. I think Western Bulldogs have had a better second half. But I think there's a lot structurally wrong with them. There's a lot of outs, and I can't find a reason to pick the Western Bulldogs in this game.
I just think Luke Beveridge has tried to sneak a quick rebuild in here. I think he's looked at the premiership team and looked at the players he thinks out of that team who can't get back and play in another one. And rather than go around for a couple of years and kid yourself that they might, I think he's decided to rip the Band-Aid off. And he started playing kids very early on. And there's a bit of Kevin Sheedy about it. You know how Sheedy always ended an era before everyone thought the era was
Hawthorne
over?
Hawthorn did the same thing. Clarkson did the same thing with Hawthorn, with some really big outs that still sit uncomfortably with Hawthorn supporters.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing to do, but as long as you don't expect overnight result.
No, and they won't get an overnight result on Sunday.
And they've been competitive. And, you know, if you're a Bulldog supporter, you certainly can't go away thinking you're not having a crack. So they'll do that on Sunday.
Yeah, they'll have a crack, but West Coast will win and win pretty comfortably.
Toughest game of the round, the last one. Port v Giants, Adelaide Oval on Sunday.
Well, Quarters, I'm not sure it is the toughest game of the round.
Yep.
I think that no Ryder, almost certainly no Robbie Gray.
Mm-hmm.
I think GWS are winning this one. I think that
okay.
they will continue their climb up the ladder. And if they do, I reckon every team in the top four will start looking over their shoulder and they will think about the potential ins. So this will be the fourth game that Jeremy Cameron misses. Brett Deledio played in the kneeful last week and Tom Scully is now back in full training.
Yeah, good to see Deledio back. And I hope the Giants... I'm going to pick Port. I'm still going with the venue tip here. And they are two big outs. And I think Ryder, he's one of those players. If you name one player at every club that drastically changes you or reduces your ability to win, he's that player at Port,
yeah.
and more so than a lot of clubs.
Yeah,
he's
I agree
that,
with that
good. And Robbie Gray, another big out. I just still think there's enough depth and quality there, and it's at home. I'm prepared to go with them. I hope the Giants win because I think Port, he'll be top six, that's fine. But I want the Giants to be right up there and about because I agree with you. I reckon they're already starting to look over their shoulders. They're the real X factor.
Yeah.
It's Richmond for me still with a little bit of a gap, but it's closing.
Yeah.
And I think Collingwood, we'll see what happens with Collingwood. They're in the mix. Eagles are obviously in the mix and the Giants are that real X factor. I reckon.
Yeah, I would put...
I'd love to see him have a crack and I'd love to see Deledio have some success.
I think Collingwood are in trouble now just because of the injuries, and I think West Coast and the Giants are the big threat
yep.
to Richmond, I think. And if the Giants can hold it together and somehow pinch their second win in Adelaide for the season, they'll be closing in on the top four. They'll have St Kilda next week at Spotless Stadium, and everybody will be going, look out.
Here the orange come. Tsunami, strap the, yourself in. Grab whatever you tsunami. Can, any floating bit of wood.
Correct.
Here it comes.
All right, well, that's this week's round. Hopefully your tips go well. Hopefully they go better than our tips did last week.
Oh,
were you a three?
Shocker. Yeah, I was. I was
a 3-2.
Which followed an 8, so I'm getting 8 this week. I'm going to talk myself. I'm getting 9. I'm talking myself into it this week.
Well done. Must be great to be Hawthorn supporter. You have this natural sense of optimism about everything.
Yeah, you do. You do. Can't complain.
Right, good luck, everybody, with your tips. We'll be back on Tuesday for a full wrap of the round. We'll be brought to you again by Tab Touch. Hope your team goes well. Hope your tips go well. And we'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.